On this episode of Stay Haunted, we give you the full rundown of what went down on opening night of Universal Studio Hollywood's Halloween Horror Nights. Greetings, I am James H. Carter II, your host here for Stay Haunted Creepy Kingdoms podcast all about haunts. In this very episode, we give you a full and complete rundown of everything that went down at opening night of Halloween Horror Nights in Hollywood, Universal Studios Hollywood, that is. Before we jump to that, just want to let you Stay Haunted fans know we have a lot more haunt coverage coming at a very rapid pace over the next few weeks. There will be a brand new Stay Haunted episode at least once a week for the next few weeks, so get ready for that, including our review of Halloween Horror Nights Orlando. That's going to be coming up very, very soon. But enough about that. Let's get to this episode right now. Hey, gang, I'm here with Roxy Tart.
Hi, guys.
And we are back with another episode of Stay Haunted, Creepy Kingdom's brand new haunt show. And you're going to be getting a lot more Stay Haunted in the next few weeks because...
Oh, yeah. It's haunt season.
Haunt season is upon us.
So Friday night, that was our first official night of haunt season, right?
I would say so. I mean, it's the first haunt we went to, so I don't think there was any other haunts open for this. So starting off haunt season here in Southern California and also in Orlando, which we'll get to that in a moment, is, of course, Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios Hollywood. And we were there. And
all day.
All day. and all night.
And all night. I left my house at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I got home at 3 o'clock in the morning, y'all.
That's a grind,
huh? It was awesome.
Yeah, that's a grind, yeah. That was a rough drive home. For me, I don't know about it for you, but that was one of the rougher drive homes I've had in a while because I was pretty tired. But anyways, you guys didn't tune in to hear about us being tired from driving or whatever. No, it was obviously it's a major event, and what we want to do is, you know, we don't want to throw down spoilers, of course, but we do want to share our thoughts, which may or may not be a spoiler to you. I don't know. But before we even got in to the event, we were on the red carpet.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yep, covering the celebrities coming in. And we were doing this in conjunction with Nightmarish Conjurings. Of course, our sister site run by Shannon McGrew, who's often on the show, which probably should be on this episode, but she's just too busy. We can't hold her down. I know
you really cannot nail Shannon down at this time of the year.
No, in the past, I've gotten her to do episodes where I clipped a microphone to her and said, "Sit here and talk to me about what we did for an hour." She's like, fine.
No, Shannon's not really the sit down, talk about it podcast like type. Shannon is the go like experience it all.
That's type. Right. Yes. Yeah. She does "I'll sleep when I'm dead" kind of attitude. And
yep.
We tried, initially I was like, oh, let's review the haunts as we come out of them. I know that we did that last year, and things were just a little too chaotic for that. We really didn't have too much time to reflect.
We sat down like three times all night long.
Yeah, we didn't have too much time to reflect.
Yeah, no. We bounced from one place to another place to another place. I think we rested like once when Shannon got something to eat, once when James and I got something to eat, and then...
What was the third time? I don't remember.
That might be it.
Well, we could say watching Jabberwockies is some type of resting, right?
Yeah, that was resting. So, but yeah, other than that, it was just go, go, go. And we thought about recording a little bit, but it was just so hectic and so loud and so crazy. And there was so much to do that now we're recording for you guys.
That's right. You probably get a little bit. You know, it's been a few days. I've had to let it soak in a little bit. So it's probably best. But the first thing I want to play for everyone here is Shannon was interviewing some celebrities on the red carpet. And we will have a video up of that shortly. But just for you guys right now, you could listen to some of that stuff. So here it is.
I'm actually pretty chill when it comes to scary stuff. I mean, if you were putting me in like an actual haunted house, get me out. No, I'm not dealing with that.
We were just this sort of very small group of filmmakers who went off to make a little movie. And the fact that it's now become something that's a franchise, I wouldn't have done it if David Gordon Green hadn't written a really compelling, very interesting take on it. And it's just amazing.
All right, we are here with Oliver Robbins. And is this your first time at Halloween Horror Night?
This is my very first time experiencing any maze at all, too.
Really?
Yeah. So I thought this was a great way to do it. Experience Hollywood Horror Nights and do it Poltergeist maze at the same time.
Is there a particular scene that you're looking forward to experiencing in the maze?
I'm terrified by everything, so I think anything they draw from the film potentially could be good. Clown dolls, trees, closets, anything that's like terrified me in the movie, I'm ready to be experienced again.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for talking with us. I know you have other people, so okay. Thank you so much. And I hope you have a great time. Oh, thanks.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. I like your pins.
Shannon. Thanks.
I'm oh my God.
Kind of
Wait,
a fan.
Hold on.
Oh, sorry. I'm nervous. Hi.
Wow. That's so cool.
I've been waiting all year
Who
for
did
this.
The Michael Myers Sam mashup? Oh.
Butch Open. They're amazing. Wow. Yeah, I just got that one. So I know you're super busy, and all I want to ask is, what are you most excited about seeing in the trick-or-treat maze?
I'm most excited to see other people getting scared.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, that's music to my ears.
Now, I know with Krampus there was a Sam reference. Should we see anything in Godzilla?
Probably not. I mean, it's more of a... It's its own universe, you know? Yeah. I wouldn't want to like try and make any claim over by putting any of my characters into it. But there's definitely a lot of Easter eggs for observant viewers.
And I know everybody's asking, like, when's Trick or Treat 2 coming out? And I'm not going to necessarily ask that, but I did. Yes. Someday will it come out?
It's up to Legendary at this point.
I'm gonna have to
if people really want a sequel, they should write letters to Legendary.
I will write all of them.
Okay.
Cool. All right. Cool. Thank you so much. All right, so my first question for you is, what was it like to be Sam?
It was Halloween 24/7, but also it was Halloween from sort of a villainous perspective. And as a 7-year-old, it's actually pretty fun to explore that because you like see everything from like the evil, the bad guy side. But then it was like it really inspired me to go on with acting. Like I was starting acting because of my love for Halloween. Halloween was where you dress up and become other people.
Now you were so young when you played Sam. So did you actually understand what his role was at the time?
Yes. I did sort of have like an old soul when I was younger. I sort of grown into it, I guess. Maybe I'm not. We got some definite excitement again. That was awesome. But yeah, it was definitely like a... I can't stop looking at those badges. Those are awesome.
Thank you.
It's just awesome.
And what are you looking forward to experiencing the most in the trick-or-treat maze?
Some flashbacks, maybe. Some homage. Maybe. That would be kind of creepy. It'd be like, oh, hey there. You're me.
We're here with Chelsea from Unfriended Dark Web.
How's it going?
How are you?
I'm great. I'm really excited.
Is this your first time at Halloween Horror Nights?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you like haunts?
Yeah. Yes and no. I'm a really big scaredy cat. But I've done a couple horror projects now. I did American Horror Story and I did Unfriended now. And so I'm like, okay, I feel like I owe it to the genre to come do a Horror Nights.
What do you think is going to be, what do you think is going to be the most scariest part of the haunt, the Unfriended haunt?
I don't even know. I don't even know what to expect from the Unfriended haunt. I'm like excited and concerned. Like it's all, the whole movie's digital and done over Skype. So I don't know. Is it going to be like holographic? I don't know.
Well, whatever it is, I hope that it's amazing. And I hope you have a great time.
Thank you so much.
Have a wonderful night.
It's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. So I have a confession.
Yeah, here we go.
All right. I just watched Halloween 4 last week for the first time.
Good for you, see? With the viewers. Yeah. Fresh eyes,
and
right?
He did too. He just watched it as well.
Great.
So, yes, to prepare for this.
I'm
so.
Back there.
What are you looking forward to the most in the maze?
Well, I would like to see Penny's Diner, ideally, because that's where Donald sees Michael for the first time after 10 years. And it was an iconic scene for us, so I'm hoping for that. I don't know about you.
Gosh, I think I'd like to see Jamie's bedroom. I'd like to see a scene in that where the mirrors and then the hand comes out from under the bed and grabs her ankle. I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
Now, have you both ever been to Halloween Horror Nights?
I here's my confession. I come every year, but it's to drop off my kids.
I come every year, and I drag my kids with me.
It's fair. So what are you, besides the Halloween house, of course, what else are you looking forward to experience?
I want to see Poltergeist, because that goes back to the beginning. So I kind of am up for Poltergeist.
Yeah, I definitely want to see Poltergeist. That was, like, so influential for me as a writer.
Yeah.
Hopefully they have the pool. That would be intense.
That would be really intense.
Everything about that movie, it's like almost a perfect movie.
It is a perfect movie. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Shannon. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet
you. I don't know how to pronounce your first name.
Malik.
Okay, I want to make sure.
Yeah.
We're with Malik.
Oh,
no, I got it. I knew who you were. I just didn't know how to pronounce the name. So my first question is, what do you think fans are going to be most surprised about with the new Halloween movie?
How good it is.
That is fair. Very fair.
I think, you know, the combination of the amazing cast and talent and behind the scenes talent and technicians and all of it has rounded out to elevate a Halloween movie, in my opinion, like we haven't seen before. And I think only since the original, which will always be the blueprint, will always be the classic, I think this is really the biggest statement in terms of sequels that we've done.
And do you think that a whole new lineage will begin now that it's all been wiped out and now that he's not the brother anymore? Are you going to start a whole new lineage?
You're already asking me about the next one?
Of course.
Well, of course, that would be fun. It just depends on, you know, it really comes down to how the fans react and if there's still a really strong appetite, because I do feel that there are fantastic characters in this new one and we could explore all kinds of things. And I'd be the first one to say yes, I hope so.
And have you been to Halloween Horror Nights before?
I have, yes. We've done a couple years where we did the original Halloween maze here and in Orlando.
Oh, okay.
And they're doing the Halloween 4 maze in Orlando as well this year.
I'll be there at the end of the month.
You will, okay.
Yeah,
I'm going there, end of the month too. But, you know, the creativity of what they do and put into these mazes is fantastic, so it's always exciting.
So outside of the Halloween maze, is there another maze that you're really looking forward to going through?
Blumhouse of Horrors is one of them. Because we just worked together on the film, so throw out to Blumhouse. I think that's it. Halloween and Blumhouse.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me. I really appreciate it. Have a great time.
Thank you.
Hi, John. How are you? So I just have one question for you. I know how important the Universal Monsters were to you to bring that to life. So how does it feel to finally have it here?
It's cool. It's exciting. It's nerve-wracking. You know, this is a property that I've loved since I was 4 years old, and I've resisted doing it for 13 years, honestly, because it's hard to take something that you love so much and give it your own spin and then put it out there and go, here, everybody love this, you know. But now is the night where the doors open and people get to check it out and hopefully they like it. But it's an exciting, you know, moment to finally be here.
Is there an icon that you love the most out of the Universal Monsters?
My personal favorite's probably Phantom, which happens to be like one of the oldest ones.
Yeah.
But there's something just about that character that's still terrifying to me just looking at it.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me. I cannot wait to go through the houses. I hope you have a wonderful time. I will. Thank you.
All righty. Well, that was fun. It was chaotic. It was a red carpet, you know? It was...
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to see the celebrities. It was a lot of fun to get to talk to them. It was a lot of fun to watch them interact with the press and with each other. And, like, everybody was just super, like, jazzed and excited and ready to, like, go in and hit the haunts and stuff.
It was a great energy. It was a lot of fun. I've done a few red carpets. Some at various levels of celebrity. and it's always chaotic, but I prefer the Halloween Horror Nights ones because, as opposed to a movie premiere or something like that, because everyone is just excited to, they don't know what they're in for. So everyone has that excitement, you know?
So Friday night, we didn't say, but Friday night was opening night of Halloween Horror Night. Right?
Yeah, I said that.
So,
I said that's when the hot season started. But yeah.
Yeah, I knew that. I was paying attention. I was totally paying attention. So it was the red carpet, and it was the celebrities and stuff who were there, the talent that was there. It was their first chance to go and see the haunts. As media, it was our first chance to go and see the haunts. And
right.
The general public, it was their first chance to go and see the haunts. So it was very much a mix of everyone together. And as you walked around, you'd run in to other media outlets that you were on the red carpet with. You'd run into the celebrities that were on the red carpet. And it was a really, really cool, fun, like, mix of everybody and getting to see what everybody thought and was into and stuff like that. Like we just posted pics, right, from the kids of Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, up on the website. There's pictures of the kids from Stranger Things in the Stranger Things house. And, like, how cool is that? You know?
Right. And just see them as as themselves, not as the actors they're portraying, responding to walking through a haunt, which probably mm-hmm. none of them have ever done before, have any haunts.
the guy from Poltergeist, who was there, who we... Shannon talked to on the red carpet, you know, just, I don't know. There was something cool about being there for, like, his experience of getting to walk through the Poltergeist house.
Yeah. Especially like, God, 30 years later.
Yeah. So it was really cool. The energy was really good. The vibe was really good. Like,
yeah, that just reminded me. He is one of the only living people from the movie. There was this curse. It's totally not related, but just for the fun. There's like a curse of the Poltergeist curse of, like, almost all that. This is a real thing. I didn't make this up. The kids from the movie kept dying, like the actors in real life, like after the movie. And he's the only one that's still alive. Yeah, look into that. That's like a whole other thing. but I just remember that right now. It's like, it's really creepy. But anyways, yeah, that was fun. And then we went through the mazes and checked out the show. This is only one show, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's one show.
And we did our thing. So let's talk about it. You might as well just jump right into it. And one of the reasons that things were a little chaotic for us was that we had the opportunity to go through two of the houses by ourselves, which, again, is not an experience I realize that most people are ever going to have.
No, and, like, it was so cool.
Yeah, I mean, it was actually incredible. It was like... almost a dream come true, because they're just like,
right?
The reason that we got this was not because we're celebrities yet. Almost there. No, we had the opportunity to film and take pictures as media. I just want to bring, you know, and most people are like, whatever, good for you. But that experience, I mean, if there's something, I don't even know how else you'd be able to do that unless you're like a mega celebrity. Maybe that's something you should offer for $1,000. I don't know. But especially right? Those like crowded nights. But I mean, you know, a lot of these mazes, you know, you go through them and they're just so jam packed with people. You know, you don't really get that like I'm exploring vibe, you know, and a lot of the scares get lost. You know, and we
did experience that at numerous times during the night. We're not trying to make it sound like we were super cool. We got to walk through.
Oh yeah, no, we only got to go through two houses. Yeah,
so, but we did experience, you know, walking through with just huge swarms of people and whatnot, which really made the private tours through the houses even more special. Because you really, really got to see, or we really got to see the difference between going through, you know, alone with the cameras and taking video and stuff like that, and then going through with other people, and that was super cool.
Yeah, to me, it was just an incredible experience. Beforehand, I knew that we were going to do it, but I thought that it would be lights on and there'd be nobody in there, so we would just be kind of getting scenery. And then when I found out that it would be full tilt boogie, that everything would be actors and everything going through just by ourselves, I'm like, are you kidding me? What an incredible experience.
And rad. Then
I would say that out of the two that we got to do, that I'm really glad that those were the two that were chosen. We didn't get to pick them.
No.
Although I'm sure Shannon put in a really strong word for one of them, since I'm almost positive. But those two ended up being my favorites, and I'm trying to separate the alone experience from it, but even independent of that, I just love them. But I don't really remember the order that we did things. Do you want to just go the order they have them like listed as far as the thoughts go? Well, let's start with the headlining attraction here, Stranger Things. Now,
the Stranger Things house was pretty cool. That was one that we did not go through with a guide. We went through just like everybody else.
Now, I do want to preface this for myself, is that last week, I was invited with other media to get a sneak preview of this maze. With the lights on, with John Brody, the creative director at Universal, or creative, a lot of creative words there, explaining what is going to happen in each room and some of the behind the scenes. That was for Nightmarish Conjurings. There's a full write up on that and pictures. And, you know, even when I got the opportunity to do that, I was so excited. But I was, the little part of me was like, I wish that we had this opportunity like after I went through the maze. So all that being said, I mean, there was no actors, or I didn't know where all the scare spots were. And when I went, you know, with you guys, but I did know the path. I didn't know where we were going. Because we spent about an hour on that tour. It wasn't like a really quick walkthrough. We'd like go in each room and talk about all this stuff. So I spent
that
a lot.
Would have been awesome. I wish I could have done that.
I mean, it was really awesome. And just being a fan of you know, these big scale haunts and theme parks and stuff like that, it was absolutely incredible. I mean, I loved it. But as far as my, it was really hard to separate that knowledge of that experience of a week prior going through the actual maze itself. I do want to say one thing. If you're going, invest in Express Pass.
Yes. Those lines were crazy. I don't know how much Express Pass actually cost. I haven't looked it up yet.
I actually looked it up yesterday.
Did you? How much is it?
It's not too bad, actually, because I forget what the regular price ticket is with no discounts. I think it's like 70 or 80 or something like that. I don't know. But what I do know is that the Express Pass, depending on the night, ranges from, and that's with your ticket included, ranges from 169 to 220. So
well, it's considering that it means that you get to do every haunt, basically, because you're going to have time. And you don't have to stand in a line for 3 hours, well, I think.
Not every line was 3 hours, but Stranger Things did hit it. I mean, it's the headlining attraction opening night.
Still, though.
So, with that, I would say, for this attraction, or maze, whatever they call it, more than anything, Express Pass was a gift.
It was.
Because I think the standby line was 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we waited 10 minutes. Now, that's not common for Express. Normally, you know, but there was just happened to be not that many people on the Express line when we showed up there. And we were prepared to wait an hour in the Express line, because that's kind of, usually it's about a third of the wait. That's kind of the average. So we were like, all right, well, we got to do this. So let's do it.
But with our Express passes on Friday night, on opening night, and maybe because it was opening night and there weren't a lot of people, I don't know, who wanted to spend that extra money or whatnot. I don't know. But I don't think we ever waited longer than like 10 minutes.
No. I can't recall of any time. So I think it's definitely a worthy investment. Of course, if everybody gets Express Pass, then the lines get long. But I don't think everybody will. But just a pro tip for you guys.
Back to the Stranger Things house.
Yeah, so what, you're going in blind, and what was your impressions of the maze?
Well, my background in haunts is I have built them, I have worked security, and I've acted in haunts. So one of my favorite things just overall about going through haunts is looking at the sets and seeing how well it's built and how well it's decorated and stuff like that. That's like, I just wanted to say up front that is what I am looking at first, not the scares and whatnot. So that being said, Stranger Things looked amazing. It was so good. Like, their sets were good. The some of the scenes were inside, like some of the scenes were outside, and they were like, you know, decent transitions between the two. The outside scenes looked like they were outside, like you can tell that some good money was spent on like the details of the song.
I kind of feel like it was set up as though it was a permanent attraction. Like, that's about the amount of detail and money that went into that.
Yes, nothing about this attraction seemed temporary. You know, it was obviously the headlining attraction, you know, it's new for this year. And so obviously, I mean, you want it to look as good as possible, but you almost forgot you were walking through a maze. You know, it very much did not have the haunted house in a tent maze feel that a lot of other haunts have. It was very much like walking through sets.
Yeah, it's definitely seemed more like movie sets than that. I mean, that's kind of what Halloween Horror Nights overall kind of does that, I think, pretty well. But this one in particular, I was like, it's like, wow. And so my take on it being, again, and this little, I'm glad you prefaced your background of all this and what you like out of it. Unfortunately, this episode, we don't have someone on here that's all about being scared. We will in future episodes. Roxy and I are not scared by any of the things in there, so that's not what we're looking for out of these. I'm pretty much on the same point with you. I love being immersed in creepy environments, and I like to see how they, you know, the new hiding place and how they get you. And I'd say every once in a while, you know, something actually gets you or gets me. But, you know, I'm not, you know, I'm kind of immune to the jump scare aspect of haunts at this point. All that being said, so I already saw the sets. But for me, what I was really taken in was the sound design. So that was completely new to me when I was, you know, going through. You know, the Stranger Things has such an amazing score to begin with. It's such an awesome 80s score. And like I said, I didn't really know where all the scare points were for, or hiding places were. So that was like, completely new as well.
And without giving away any spoilers, the scares in the haunt look really, really good. I don't even want to say what it is that like jumps out at you or anything, because I want people to be surprised. But those individuals look really good.
Yeah, it's high quality. I'm sure any fan of Stranger Things could guess what's scary them. But
you never know.
You're right. But there was, you know, there was a few other parts where there was other things going on. Again, this is a summary of season one. They have specified that. So that strongly implies them be coming back. And they might be doing it for a while. For many years, Hollywood Horror Nights was doing The Walking Dead, and their maze would be highlights or characters from the season before, like for many years. And obviously they have stopped that, as they have now a permanent attraction in Hollywood, and I guess, I don't know, maybe eventually in Orlando, I don't know. But so this could be the new thing, and that's exciting. I've heard a lot of other podcasts debate like what direction this is taking Halloween Horror Nights. Is this more not family friendly, but going after teens, you know, more than the adult audience? Mm-hmm. You know, and I think, you know, Stranger Things is a huge hit. It's a big phenomenon. Most people love it. All that good stuff. But at its core, when you sit down and watch it, you take all the hype away. That is a horror television show. There are horrific things that happen in the show. It drops your guard it lets you drop your guard because you're so wrapped into the characters and their day-to-day lives. But
especially because they're kids.
Yeah.
You know, you get these kids that are just, you know, kind of geeky, and they're playing D&D and, like, you know, cool. And you let your guard down, and then some crazy, crazy stuff happens. If Halloween Horror Nights continues it, I can't wait to see what they would do with season two. Because there were some amazingly horrible things that happened in season two.
Oh, yeah. For sure. So, yeah, there's a lot to look forward to. But definitely the headlining attraction. Go there first. No matter what, whether you have express pass or not.
Yeah, run, just go. It's at go the, straight there.
It's in the, you know, the lower lot area, so just get in there. It's actually, this marks the first time at Hollywood that a maze was put inside of a soundstage. So usually they're all in temporary setups. Tents, if you will.
Yep.
So that's something.
And if you really want to go, and you just want to, you know, go straight there and not even look at signs or anything, it's behind the Transformers ride.
Right.
That's where you're headed.
Head to Transformers. It's on the left. So, very, very fun.
So what's the next one?
The next one, I'm just going by the list on the website. It's all pretty arbitrary. is Trick or Treat.
So, and this was also the first year they had Trick or Treat, correct?
Yes, Trick or Treat. And this is going to an interesting film. In my house, it's pretty clear what Trick or Treat is, as it's completely obsessed with this film and has a shrine to its main character, Sam, in my home. But it's a film that, you know, flew under the radar when it came out, and not many people knew about it, and kind of developed a cult following. But it's not really that old. Some people that don't know about it think, oh, this must be a movie from the 80s or something. But it's from 2007. And, you know, it's a tale of, it's an anthology horror film it's very much inspired by films from the 80s, which I think is a lot of people get that. And it was, when it came out, it certainly was one of those, they don't make them like this anymore films, you know.
No, I actually thought when I very first saw the trailer, I was at my friend's house. We were watching a DVD. I don't even remember what DVD it was, but the trailer for Trick or Treat was on the DVD.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought it was like a joke movie. you know, we thought it was like a horror movie parody.
Like Scary Movie or something?
Yeah. And then I don't know how many months later, you know, I was over at that same friend's house and he was like, oh, do you remember that Halloween horror movie thing, Trick or Treat, that we saw the trailer for? I bought it. And so we sat down and we watched it. And at the end of it, we were like, this movie was awesome. Because it was not a parody. It was not making fun of anything. It's, in my opinion, it is the best Halloween movie ever made.
Probably. I mean, as far as a movie about the holiday of Halloween, that is still a horror movie at its core. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue it. You know.
Yeah, this is if you haven't seen it and you know you like horror movies, but you want to see a good movie about the holiday of Halloween, this movie takes the cake. It's so good.
So that's the background on the movie, but it's kind of like, you know, I live in a trick or treat bubble, as I'm saying. So to me, it's like gone, not to me personally, but, you know, around, you know, my house, it's like gone with the wind. You know, it's like, why wouldn't they have this? But it's interesting that this is really the kind of film that, to bring it to Halloween Horror Nights, it's for a small audience. But if you don't know what it is, like, you could still enjoy it. And in fact, could be an introduction to the film to you to want to actually go and explore it. Because it doesn't ruin the film if you haven't seen it.
No, not at all. It takes you through the story, but it doesn't ruin it. It doesn't really give any spoilers. If you don't know the story of the film, I would love to talk to somebody who walked through the house and hasn't seen the film. I think that'd be really cool.
And if that's you listening, get in touch with us.
Yeah. If that's you, please reach out to us, because that'd be an awesome perspective to get. But I think that if you haven't seen it and you don't know the story, and you walk through the house, what you're going to get is a really cool haunted house revolving around Halloween, you know, the holiday of Halloween. Right. It's like separated into sections, like the movie is separated into sections. And so you kind of get that there's a story, but it definitely doesn't.
Yeah, there's no story being told through the maze.
Yeah.
You walk into scenes that were in Trick or Treat, basically. And so this was the first thing that we did. We actually went through this twice. We went through it by ourselves, as we mentioned, and then we went back to do it again, as I call civilians, to get the civilian experience. And just for me, I loved it. To me, it was really the fun of it was seeing the characters from the film come to life. So I'm interested to see if someone doesn't know the characters, how they feel about it. But that was thrilling to me. That was fun.
Yeah.
And going through it twice, picking up on more details, I feel like there's still many that I missed that I actually, you know, literally want to go again.
Yeah. And going through it at the beginning of the night and then going through it at the end of the night, there were definitely some differences in the details. Like, I don't know how much we can talk about, like, without giving spoilers and whatnot.
Well,
but when you get to the principal part of the story, watch where you walk.
Yeah, because that wasn't there the first time, right?
No, it was not.
Okay, there you go. Watch where you walk.
That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say, if you go anytime that is not the very beginning of the night to the trick or treat house, when you enter the part where it's the principal and it says it on the wall so you can see it, just watch where you step. It's safer that way.
All right. Duly noted. I don't think there's anything else to say without spoiling it. I mean, obviously, we liked it enough to do it again. So that's pretty
obvious. Yeah, and I'm glad we did. I do not regret doing it a second time at all. Even though the second time we walked through, there were a billion people in front of us and a billion people behind us. And so obviously we didn't get the same scares, you know, because we could see them happening and coming and whatnot. But that was okay because we got to see a lot more detail.
Right. Yeah. When you're slowed down, you get to kind of, you're not really rushed through. You can actually take it all in, which is what you and I apparently love to do. all right. So let's move on there. Definitely a contender for my favorite one of the night, but I guess we'll reveal that at the end. I'm just going by this arbitrary list here. The next one here is the first Purge. So before we get into that one, a lot of Halloween Horror Nights fans are purged out, as this is a Universal property that they've been bringing in ever since the Purge came out. And on both coasts, they've done it different ways. One of the best executions of it was in Orlando in 2014 when it was a scare zone, because it literally looks like you've just walked into complete, you know, anarchy. They had live auctions of humans, that there was all stories being played out. There was just all these things, you know, and that's probably the best usage of this franchise, because, you know, the people in masks, to me, are, you know, hopping out at you aren't the scariest thing.
No.
On Earth, because you don't really feel like you're in danger.
That is not what makes the Purge scary.
Right, right.
You know, I haven't seen the Purge movies. I don't really have any desire to. If one was on TV, I'd probably watch it, but I haven't gone out of my way to see them. So, but I know, I mean, I know what the story is. I know what it's about. I was bored walking through that house. And maybe it's because I'm not a fan of the franchise, or I don't know, but I was just kind of bored. Nothing about it sticks out to me in my memory at all.
Well, I'll say this about it. I'm going to say I'm number one fan of the franchise. I've seen a few of the films. Last year at Hollywood, in the Blumhouse Mashup House, which we're getting to, they had Purge Anarchy as part of it. And it was fun. I haven't seen the first Purge yet. It's not an unfortunate. I tried to watch everything or rewatch everything before the event. This is not out yet on whatever thing has come out on digital. I was going to say home video. I don't know. Shannon.
We're old. Okay.
I know. Home video. VHS. Yeah. Shannon saw it and she said she really enjoyed it and that she think that I would. But independent of any of that, as we'll get to, just because the movie is one way doesn't mean the haunt is the same way. That maybe being more familiar with the film would add at least the environments that's going on there. I liked it enough. I can't say I was bored by it, because there were a few very brutal acts that were depicted that were like perfect timing for me. You know, again, we don't want to spoil, but you know, it's, you know, that involve, you know, a person killing another person, you know. And they were both actors. A lot of times when someone's being killed in one of these mazes, like one of them is, you know, a mannequin or
yeah,
something like that. But
I now that you say it, I do remember one of the instances you're talking about, and you're right, that scene was it was memorable. It came off, it went off really, really well.
Right, and I think we had perfect timing for it as well. It happened like right in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked it enough. I wouldn't say, you know, I probably like, it sounds like I liked it more than you. I think there was one point also where we were walking, and I'll bring this up. It doesn't bother me. It really bothers Shannon and a few other of our contemporaries. Is that the mazes in Hollywood tend to have these long transition scenes where they're just a bunch of black curtains, and to me, it doesn't bother me. Like I don't really know why. I prefer if they weren't there, but don't bother me. But yeah. Another reason they don't bother me is that they have started putting some scares in those places, so that's like a total like let your guard down, like space.
Which is good, because those the transitions don't bother me. I don't like it when they're too long. And as far as coming from, you know, building haunts, it's wasted space as far as I'm concerned. You know, I get that you sometimes you do have to have a transition between scenes and whatnot, but I don't like them to be too long. But I do like that they, you know, they have to have them, and therefore they're going to put some scares in them.
Right.
Which is really cool.
I thought that
instead of it just being nothing.
So, yeah, you let your guard down. You know, they're not in every maze, but sometimes there's some scares in them. So it's like, as all that being said, one of those times was in the first Purge, because I walked into the space and it was totally like, I don't know, here's a spoiler, I guess, I don't know, whatever. But you keep walking forward, and then you walk forward, and it's like I couldn't see anything. It was pitch black, and I couldn't move forward anymore. There was like a wall there, and I'm like, and this is, we're talking about seconds that I'm dealing with this. It's not like we were like
he was like feeling around.
Yeah. It was just kind of like, which way do I go? And then, you know, the lights come on, whatever. There was a guy that was kind of standing on it was like a few feet off the ground, and he like swiped down at you right at that moment. You literally like almost walk into him, but he's up on a little bit of a platform or something like that. So that's what I'm saying. Like, first Purge was cool.
I wouldn't wait more than 5 or 10 minutes to go in it again.
Well, that's your one percenter express pass, Linda, you talking. All right, moving on. We're going to go to Poltergeist, the classic 80s horror movie.
This is another one that we got to go through just us. We got to go through alone, which was, again, really, really cool, because you're not in that press of people. You do get to kind of experience it a little bit more. So that was really neat. But I got to say, going into this, this was one of the mazes that I was least looking forward to.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah, I'm not a big Poltergeist fan. I don't think I've seen the movie since the 80s.
So, well, that might be part of your lack of anticipation. But
yeah, like I just, you know, it was a cool movie. I've caught parts of it on TV, you know, during Halloween time. But like, I don't think I've sat down and watched it probably since the 80s. But I was like, oh, okay, cool. You know, it's the anniversary. We've got Poltergeist House. There's some cool stuff in Poltergeist everybody knows about. Right on. You know, neat. Like that was my feeling walking into it. Like, neat, you know, cool. I was so wrong. The Poltergeist House was amazing.
It definitely was. I just rewatched it in chunks because I don't have 2 hours of spare time leading up to the event. Up until minutes before you came and picked me up. Like, I just finished watching it, and then you picked me up, and then we drove to Universal. So, but all the whole time, as I'm rewatching this, I'm like, how are they going to do this? There's so many awesome things there. I'm just like, how is this going to translate to a haunt? Like, how are they going to do it? Particularly the end of Poltergeist, you know, spoiler alert, when all the dead bodies start coming out of the ground, you know, the decayed dead bodies are breaking out of coffins and breaking out everywhere. I'm like, how are you going to create this chaotic feeling of that?
The haunt has actually inspired me to want to watch the movie again.
Oh, well, there you go. Because, I mean, trust me, you'll watch it again, and then you'll be like, oh, my God, they nailed it.
Yes. Now I want to watch the movie again and then go back and go through the haunt again.
I mean, every scene that is, like, over the top is portrayed in this haunt. It's executed so well. Because so many times I was like, I'm like, I don't know how they're going to do this. I was like, I'm glad this task is not...
It's not your task. It's not
my task to figure out how to turn Poltergeist into a haunt.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, and one last time we'll talk about this you know, special privilege that we got. The fact that we were going there by ourselves really lent to this like exploration feeling as we're traveling through the, you know, it's in their house. That's the set.
Yeah.
You know, it really felt like we're going through like a real house, like a little, like where people live. And then we had a moment to like assess the situation.
Yeah.
You know, and see what was going on, you know.
I feel like, so, you know, there are haunts that always get backed up because the people going through are scared to go to the next room.
Yeah.
I feel like Poltergeist is going to be one of those haunts.
Oh, definitely. There's a few things where it's just like, it's so unexpected and it's so over the top and overwhelming that you're just like, whoa.
Yeah, it was just... And the details, just even the small details, were so good. And like, since we got to walk through and we got to film a lot of this stuff, and I had my phone, so I basically filmed all night long, whether, you know, we were with other people or not. But I posted a lot of stuff on the Creepy Kingdom Instagram stories, and I posted some of the stuff on my own Instagram stories. And I have to tell you that the scene that I posted from the Poltergeist house on my Instagram stories, numerous people said that it scared them.
Just
on my phone.
Just skipping through the stories on Instagram.
Yes. Yes. Numerous people sent me messages. And in fact, my husband and my roommate both said that my Instagram scared them.
Well, because they're sitting there thinking about being face to face with this thing that we're talking about.
Right? It was just, yeah, it was a great house. It was a really good house. See, now The Purge, I wouldn't wait more than 10 minutes for. Poltergeist, I'd probably wait an hour or more to go see it again.
Wow. Hour or more. Interesting.
I thought it was like, okay, maybe not more, but I would like an hour if I was with some friends that I really liked. And
sure. Know, yeah. Pass the time chatting. Yeah. Good times. Yeah.
That's, what gotta,
that's what you gotta do anyways, but go with friends and waiting in line so bad, but friends that you want to talk to at least. If we reach the point in your friendship, we got nothing to say. These lines are going to drag, but
yeah. Don't go with people you don't like. And if you do, get the express pass.
There you go. All right. I didn't say don't like, but sometimes you have some friends where you're just like, you know, what are you going to say? You've said everything there is to say. You know, those are not going to make the lines go faster. Here, another pro tip. Anyways, moving on their list, which was the last thing that we did, which was Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers. So let's a little bit with Halloween, the film franchise at Halloween Horror Nights. They've done it many years, both coasts. They've done the original Halloween several times. They did Halloween 2. And I guess they were like, well, they wanted to skip Halloween 3 since that film doesn't have Michael Myers in it. So they're like, all right, well, we're going to do Halloween 4. It was kind of like when they announced it, it was like, okay, this is more of a thing for Orlando because they also did Halloween 4 and all their whole theme is like an 80s theme. All of their mazes have something to do with the 80s. So this made more sense, I guess, for them. But I asked John Murdy during that walkthrough of Stranger Things why he did Halloween 4 as opposed to the new Halloween movie that's coming out in October. And he basically said, well, because the movie comes out in October, it would ruin the movie.
Well, that makes sense. I'm not sure I've even seen Halloween 4. I mean, I know I have because I've seen all of the Halloween movies, just like I've seen all of the, you know, Friday the 13th movies.
Right.
But like, I don't know. They just kind of blend. And there was nothing about the Halloween 4 house that stood out to me and was like, oh, yeah, it was this movie. Or, oh yeah, that happened, or oh yeah, that was really cool. Like it was just walking through a Halloween house.
Right, my old Michael Myers house, just so we don't get confused. I had never seen it before, but I watched it leading up to the event because I, and the writer and director of the film were on the red carpet, which was she had to interview them, interesting exchange, and then I got thrown under the bus a little bit.
There. You really did. You hella did. She straight threw you under the bus and was like, "He's never seen it."
No, 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 that's not what it was. It was that I had seen it, and she knew that I saw it.
Oh, you didn't like it.
I said I didn't like it, but... so, I mean, that's what it was. But I was, I mean, it's just like, what, it was just like a whatever movie. Like, I mean, I've seen
it's
worse
Halloween
movies.
Four.
Right, right. I mean, it literally lives up to that expectation. That being said, with the maze... Clearly, there are scenes or set pieces that were in the movie that were in the maze. Like, some people get killed in an auto garage, and before Michael Myers finds his William Shatner mask, he makes a mask out of gauze. So that's there waiting for you, you know. In case you were wondering why Michael Myers was covered in gauze in the beginning of the maze, Roxy.
I was, actually. I'm not even going to lie. I was very confused.
That's why.
Like,
He broke out of in the movie, he breaks out of the mental
institution. Oh, the asylum. He breaks out of the asylum.
Yeah, and he's making his way back to find the descendant of his sister. That's what happens in the movie.
That's
so,
right.
So before,
okay.
I don't really recall how he got or found his William Shatner mask, but just at the beginning of the movie, he didn't have a mask, so he broke out of a ambulance. So I guess you just used gauze to.
I kind of remember that.
Create a mask. There were references to Halloween 3, which they have put in there before, which is good. But I mean, the point we're getting at, it does. Whether you've seen Halloween 4 or not, it's another Michael Myers Halloween maze. And I liked it.
It was all right.
Yeah, I thought there was enough Michael Myers popping out.
There were some cool effects that were more than just like your normal jump scares, which there were in numerous houses.
Right, because Michael Myers is slow. He doesn't.
Yeah.
He doesn't jump out.
You know, like, so that was cool. But there was, in my personal opinion, there was nothing outstanding about the Halloween 4 maze.
I liked it a little bit more than you, I'd say, because the Halloween 3 references, the Silver Shamrock thing is cool. And, it's been a while since, actually, it's been that long. It's been a while since I walked through a Halloween maze, but it was only 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever. I liked it. And I didn't really like the movie. So that, but you know, that's, it's all, you know, take that with for what you will. But, all right. Moving on. We've got The Horrors of Blumhouse Chapter 2. This was a mashup maze, which included Blumhouse's Truth or Dare and Unfriended Dark Web and a surprise ending. Which I, you know what, I feel like, let's just leave the surprise ending out of it.
Okay.
I really liked it. I'll say that.
Yeah, see that, like, the surprise ending in the Blumhouse house. was, in my opinion, the best part, and literally, it's what we all walked out talking about.
Yeah.
You know, we had questions. We needed answers, and we had questions, and luckily, we had a guide. With us who worked for Universal, and he was able to answer a couple of our questions. But the end of the house was definitely a surprise. It was, and it was the best part as far as I'm concerned.
I will agree. So let me get into my thoughts on the beginning. I have seen both of these films and you have not.
Correct.
Truth or Dare. And again, I was going to look up the plot because you were so confused about what was going on. I was trying to explain it, but I barely remembered.
I'm so confused, you guys. I was like, we're walking through and I'm like, because I saw the previews. I saw the commercials. I know what the movie's about. And so we're walking through this haunt, and I was like, what the hell is going on here? Like, I thought I was in a different haunt. I thought, like, there was a mistake. I was so confused. But that being said, like, what I know about the movie, I wouldn't want to have to build a haunt about that.
Right. Well, I'm trying to find a brief synopsis, and it's not telling me what I need to know. All right. My brief recollection of the plot. One of a group of friends watches a video online that supposedly somebody gets cursed in some religious tomb in Mexico or something, which makes it so that all of their group of friends have to play this truth or dare game with this mysterious voice that they can all hear and no one else. And if they don't do it, the truth, if they just don't do it at all, they get killed. The mysterious voice controls their body and makes them kill themselves. And that's, I think that's all you really need to know. And that is a very horrible, crappy movie.
Okay.
So what you experience in the Blumhouse one is you start off in that tomb where the curse is set, which would probably be really confusing to most people, because you're like,
yeah, it's a movie about playing truth or dare with a group of friends set in modern day times, and you walk into the haunt and the first thing you see is this like Spanish style, like a Santeria like tomb with all these religious overtones, and I was just like, what is even going on here? I was so confused.
Right. But after you get through all that, essentially what happens is that all the deaths that happen in the movie, or some of them, I don't know, you see them played out. So that being said, you know, that's fun.
Yeah. That's why we go, to see people get killed.
I mean, so, you know, it is what it is. I would say that maze was way better than the movie.
Right on.
So take that with a grain of salt. The next is Unfriended Dark Web. So this film, in case you're unfamiliar, is essentially very similar. The whole group of friends getting tricked into doing shit. It's a movie that's basically you're watching a group of friends communicate over Skype, and some of them are blackmailed to do certain things or to mess with other people. If they don't, they'll hurt their family or their girlfriends and all this stuff. And I actually really enjoyed it because it was real time, like you're watching somebody's computer screen, and there wasn't really any continuity breaks. I'm sure someone has caught one somewhere, but as far as I could see, you know, I bought the whole movie, you know, I could, you know, like every way they were communicating, it was fun. But all that being said, I'm like, I don't really understand how that translates into a haunt. And they took a lot of liberties with the film to make it a haunt.
Well, I have not seen the film. And I don't know if you guys have noticed, but James and I have very, very different ways of going into these situations. I chose not to watch any of the movies about any of the haunts before we went into them, whether I've seen them before or not. Mm-hmm. And James watched everything.
I think so.
Not yeah, I did watch seeing the movie, not knowing what the movie was about, just walking through the haunt. It was a cool little haunt. Like, I obviously understood that, you know, that a lot of it took place over a computer screen from the haunt. But I didn't know anything about it until we walked out and James told me about it, how it was all over Skype. But one of the things that I liked was that in the scenes and in each scene, there was a computer in the scene. So you did get the feeling that, you know, whatever was happening in the scene had something very much to do with what was happening, like, online. or whatnot.
And that's actually interesting because it's actually, I didn't realize this until you said that, it's actually bringing you into the things you're looking at in the film from a perspective that you didn't have in the film.
Yeah, and that's what I realized when we got out and you told me how it, the whole film is done through Skype, is that we in The Haunt, you are walking through the stuff happening in the movie, but you're seeing it from a different perspective.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, actually.
I mean, yeah, and right when on. You think about the fact that of what they had to work with to build a haunt, like, that's a really good way to do it.
I think that's the only way to do it. I mean, I would not have chose these films for haunts. You know, I'm pretty sure that these are Universal properties, and so they always, you know, they have to put their, you know, their properties in. Sometimes it's cool, sometimes it's not. What was that Crimson Peak, that Guillermo del Toro film a few years back?
Uh-huh.
That was, you know, that was one of those cases where that was a Universal film that came out at the same time as Horror Nights, and I thought it was a incredible set design. It blew me away.
I would have loved to have seen that as a haunt.
Yeah,
the movie was beautiful. Whether it was a good movie, you thought it was a good movie or not, you know, whatever. But the movie was beautiful.
It was perfectly translated into a haunt. The beauty you speak of.
So, that's awesome.
So, but sometimes, you know, it doesn't work. But there's certain properties that they have to include, and I feel like that. Definitely The Purge, because that's it. And also this Blumhouse thing are ones that had to be in there. I'm sure it wasn't like, no one watches Unfriended and said, yes, make that a Halloween Horror Night. But they did what they did a good job for what they had to work with. And as we said, we really enjoy the ending of it. So,
yep,
I think it's worth checking out. Whether you like the movies or not is really what I'm getting at. All right. We're almost done here. We next up to bat here. And I don't actually, no, I'm going to skip because I don't want to end on what they have it here.
So, okay.
We're going to go to the Terror Tram. So this is a part of the, in case you've never been before, just to, you know, just, you know, for our listeners on the East Coast and all this stuff. So Universal Studios Hollywood, number one thing is the studio tour, where you get on a tram and they drive around the actual working lot and then also incorporate some things that are just for the tour. All that being said, the Terror Tram is you get on the tram and they take you to a certain area of the tram, of the daytime tour, which you usually never get to walk through because you're on the tram. and this includes going by the Bates Motel, which is usually on the tram tour, and the War of the Worlds plane crash set, which is a permanent fixture there on the studio tour. And that's usually the gist of it there. And so this year, it was a return of an original idea they had 2 years ago, which I didn't experience because I didn't get to go to Hollywood's 2 years ago. Originally called Clouds, but now this is something hairy.
Yeah,
I don't know. But
story.
Huh?
There was a clown whose name was Harry, and they haven't seen him for 2 years, and now he pops back up.
Right, so now he's back on the Terror Trip. I also would point out, last year's, they had what was called the Titans of Terror, which was themed around Jason, Chucky, Leatherface, and Freddy were part of this. They also had their own maze, so they had two Titans of Terror attractions. Obviously, something got canceled last minute. The Titans of Terror maze was good. It was fun. Most of the Titans of Terror Terror Tram thing was pretty good, and particularly the recreation of Camp Crystal Lake or the Bates Motel was kind of cool. But this was all, as we're driving there, we're like, what is all this stuff? You know, what are we getting into? And then they have a video they played, which actually was giving us a preview of what we're going to see. And it had this really cool animation with backstory.
The video was really cool. It was in a like comic book art style.
Yeah.
And they basically told you what houses or what haunts or whatever you were going to see by making each one a different comic book in the video. And that was cool. That was really neat.
Yeah, it actually got me somewhat excited because to what we're going to do, because I literally had no idea. That information is not anywhere besides on that video. It wasn't online. Really, that literally had no idea what you're going into.
I did not know that we were going to get off the tram and walk.
Oh, really? You missed that part?
I was not aware of that. And by this time, you know, we're talking, we are later in the night. We have done hours. We have done all kinds of haunts. You know, we've done the entire lower lot. You know, we've gone up and we've done stuff in the upper lot. And now we're going to take the stair tram. And I was like, oh, thank God, a tram. Because I hurt my foot not too long ago. Oh. And it's been giving me a lot of problems. And so my heel was just screaming. And I'm like, oh, thank God. A tram. You know, we get to sit down and like go on this ride. Cool. No, people. No. Okay. You're on this tram for like 5 minutes, if even that. And then they kick you off.
And
then you have to walk.
You walk. Not only are you walking, you're walking uphill.
Up the hill, you guys. Okay. Up the hill. You walk through the Bates Motel, like that area, and then you walk up the hill to Norman Bates' house. And then you go through two other thingies, and then you walk through the plane crashes, and then finally you walk back down to where the tram is waiting for you, and they're like, oh, hey, how you guys doing? I'm a little bitter, okay? That walk up the hill was not, like, expected.
Yeah, the first time I did that, I mean, I don't know, it definitely wasn't expected, but it's kind of cool to be able to walk through that area. You can go at your own pace. One thing that we've never done is once at that point you can wait in a line to take a picture with Norman Bates in front of his house.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And that's not if, a
well so just so everybody knows, this was literally my first year at Halloween Horror Nights ever, and I haven't been to Universal Studios since I was like 6 or 7 years old, so all of this was very, very new,
right,
to me. And if my foot hadn't hurt so bad, I might have asked if we could have stopped and, like, taken the picture with Norman Bates and in front of his house and whatnot. Because I thought that was super cool. I'm glad that we didn't. I'm glad that we just kept on going. But it was a nice little, like, perk of climbing up this hill.
Yeah, a little reward for your effort.
But it was really neat to walk through the Bates Motel set, because as I found out, you don't get to do that on the normal tram tour. You just stay on the tram the whole time.
Right.
So it was really cool to walk through the Bates Motel set, and it was really cool to walk through the War of the Worlds. That's what it is, right?
Yep.
The airplanes and whatnot, and like that was super cool. And then the other little things were just like outdoor mazes that they like added on,
right,
in between. But yeah, when I got over the shock of being kicked off the tram, it was a pretty cool experience.
That's cool. Yeah. I thought it was okay. It's probably my least favorite thing.
Yeah.
Of all the experiences. I really like walking by the Bates Motel. I think that's what it is for me. Not just because it's the Bates Motel, but I think they really use that space well, because that was supposed to be some kind of a cannibal attack scene or something.
Yeah.
Rednecks
and pigs or
something like that.
Something. Y'all, the story for this is very loose.
Yeah, and it wasn't quite sure exactly what was happening there.
It had nothing to do with the clown. It's for totally separate, like, stories. And if they hadn't had the video while you're on the tram, you would legit have no idea what was going on. Like, you step off the tram and there's these people dressed as like dogs with chainsaws.
Right, that's the first thing you see. So you're like, okay.
Yeah. Like, what? What the fuck is even happening here? Like, so yeah, it's very, very loosely storied, but it looks cool.
I mean, the production design's there, and particularly that Bates Motel scene. I like the interaction between that, you know, they're like come out of the doors, they pull people back in, not guests, but actors.
Yeah. You know what actually really bothered me about that scene? I have very, very few negative things to say about Halloween Horror Nights. But there were a few things that really, really stood out for me, and the Bates Motel was one of them.
Okay.
Because you normally drive by on the tram, the Bates Motel is not a motel. There's nothing in those rooms. But when you're walking by and there are actors coming out of them and whatnot, you can see that the rooms are completely empty, except that they weren't empty. You know, one had literally a pile of cords in it, like extension cords.
Really? I didn't notice any of that.
one had a ladder like laying down against the wall.
So it's all like supplies, you know? And stuff. Yeah, that's usually what you see behind facades on set. So yeah.
and that's okay because it's a set and it's a facade, but I feel like if you're gonna use it so that people get to get up close, like put that same attention to detail into it that you did to everything else. Or even like put up just a black curtain, you know, to like cover it. But it was bright lit. It was really bright, like fluorescent lights, really bright lit in those rooms. There was like, there were storage rooms.
Those were cannibal supplies.
Sure they were. But that was one of the things on my list of things that I really noticed that I really didn't like. It totally just took me out of what was going on.
Fair point. I notice those things everywhere, you know, and that's part of like working in films or just being, you know, just like, I always know, you know, I always point out to you, I see the extension cords on It's a Small World.
Yep.
You know, like stuff like that. I'm like, how much did I pay to get in here? Like, can't hide extension cords. So maybe not everybody noticed that stuff, but if I would have seen it, it would have bugged me too. So I understand, but I didn't see it.
Yeah. You know, you point that stuff out to me all the time. I don't normally notice that kind of stuff. So opposite of that, the set that they had built outside to go with that Bates Motel area was really good. You know, they had a lot of detail in it. And so it was something that I noticed right away that I was just like, boo, you guys failed.
Well, I will say this. The set was actually pretty much almost exactly the same thing as the year before, with that being Camp Crystal Lake. So I thought that was a little bit better execution of that space. It was, and the way that they did it, because it was just, you know, a lot of Jason killings going on there. But again, there was too much going on to really comprehend what exactly was happening. I'm still not really sure. Except they were cannibals. I don't really know. All right. I mean, that is what it is. I don't think there's much more to say about the Terror Tram. Except
really.
Got to sit down for a little bit.
And then you walk up a hill.
Right. I would say if you had to skip one, this would be the one I would say.
Yeah, I would skip that one. I'd probably do Halloween again before I do the Terror Tram. I'm not sure I'd do the Purge, but.
Oh, okay. Wow. Well, we'll see. We'll see what you do again. All Terror Tram, all night. Hop right off, get right back on. All right, so. Winding it down here, before we get to the actual final maze, the year-round attraction they have here is the Walking Dead attraction, which opened up a little bit ago. I try to go to this whenever I go to the park, for one, to get a little bit of haunt in the non-haunt season. But I really wanted to analyze it and see how different is this during Halloween Horror Nights. And I really don't think it's any different. There was one difference I saw. What was it? I think I mentioned it to you. Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Okay, that's how big of a difference was. I don't remember what it was.
It was late in the night, y'all, so we were running down.
But what was your impression of the maze for going through it for the first time?
I was bored.
Really? You're unimpressed, huh?
Yeah, that was my impression. I was bored. I don't nothing really sticks out except for security.
Oh, people rushing you along.
Yeah, the security or crowd control or whatever it was that they have in every house, specifically for the Walking Dead house, they have them in costumes. Like their outfits are themed to the.
Oh, that's what it was. There's not that many people. The crowd control people during the regular day. That's what I knew was different. There's actually none. Like there's maybe one or two, but they're like hidden. They're not like in costume.
That is what I noticed most, is that it took me a couple of scenes to realize that these people were crowd control or were security or whatnot, and were not lazy actors.
So that, because, wow, I understand that'd be a bad show for you then, if you think they're just like standing around. Like
they were just standing there doing nothing, but they were dressed to the theme of the thing. And like I will get into this a little bit later, but specifically for this one, they were not hidden. They were very, very much in the middle of these scenes. And like I thought they were lazy actors. That's what I thought at first. And then by I think the second or third room and probably like the sixth person that I saw, I realized that these were not lazy actors. These were like security crowd control. And I was just like, meh. Like I was not impressed.
Well, they usually don't have those in there. I'd say my experience going through on a non Halloween Horror Nights time, they don't really amp up the scariness of it. That's pretty much the same. There's always this one guy that always gets me. He still got me even that night. It's one of the few times I'm startled. but I like some of the scenes in there. I like. When there's like people on a platform shooting at zombie torsos hanging in a truck.
Mm-hmm.
I like that scene a lot. And one of the last scenes, literally the last scene, you have to walk through this kind of tight space where all these zombies are trying to reach out to grab you, and they're. It pretty much your first look upon that is that there's no way I'm going to get through that space without being grabbed, attacked by zombies. So I like a lot of aspects of this thing, and I didn't need to go through it for Halloween Horror Nights, but I wanted to try to see what's the difference, because I try to do it almost every time I go, just to get a little bit of a haunt season.
And I had never been through it, so I was happy to go through it, because as far as I was concerned, it was part of the experience.
Right. Well, it is what it is. No matter what, it's the only time you can make it to the park and you like Walking Dead, you definitely need to check it out. But it's all those crowd control people in there was definitely a lot different than the usual day-to-day.
That's good
version.
To know.
Yeah. all right. And our last thing, maze, not last thing, briefly talk about a few other things as we wind down here. Our last maze was the Universal Monsters maze.
So this was another one, like Poltergeist, that I wasn't really looking forward to, because, the Universal Monsters are an old property, and they're done basically every Halloween and every haunted house. You've got Dracula and Frankenstein and the Bride and the Wolfman, and they've been done a million times. So So this is another one that I was like, it'll be cool to walk through and like see them, but I wasn't really looking forward to it. And again, I was totally wrong because this house was so good.
Yeah, I don't want to point. This is the first time that Halloween Horror Nights has done a Universal Monsters maze with their own. I mean, everyone rips them off and takes their characters, but this is the first time. There used to be a House of Horrors that was a year-round walkthrough before Walking Dead, which was similar to this. But this is the first time Hollywood Horror Nights specifically has done this. And, it was a lot of fun. And you go through a lot. I mean, at first, I wasn't expecting to see as many of the Universal monsters as we did.
No. Not at all. Like, what was it? The Invisible Man?
Yeah.
Was in there? I didn't expect that. That was not a property that I expected to see.
Yeah, I mean, they had them all. I mean, all the ones you can think of. Phantom of the Opera, that was a cool set piece to walk through. What they did with Frankenstein and what one of the things you captured in particular...
it was really cool.
That was cool.
Yep, and the entrance room to the Frankenstein part, there's a thing that they do that is really, really neat. And then the secondary room to it is where the bride is, and that whole room is beautifully... I mean, every room was beautifully done. I was blown away, like, production-wise... The scares, the surprises, the properties. I was totally blown away by it.
Yeah, this was a passion project of John Murdy's, and he was, when asked about it, he said he was reluctant to do it for so many years because he didn't want to mess it up. And I think everyone is very satisfied. Everyone we talked to that went through it really enjoyed it.
Yep.
Apparently the music was done by Slash, and I don't really remember the music at all.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing really stood out.
I do not remember the music at all, which, I mean, I guess on one hand is good because it means that it really lends itself to the property.
When I think of music by Slash, I just figured, like, guitar solos incorporated all over the place.
Yeah, right? But no, it was really, really good. It was in my top for sure.
Yeah, that's one I desire to experience again because it seems like there's a lot.
Yep.
Of things that I'm sure we missed. Other than that, we had, I think there's only three scare zones that I recall. There was one that was pretty much a trick or treat scare zone, which they didn't really advertise for, which was a few photo ops.
That was totally surprising.
Not nowhere near the haunt.
Yeah, it's in the upper lot. The scare is in the lower lot, and this was in the upper one.
Yeah,
and they have like three, little set piece thingies that you can go and like take your picture in front of, and they have the bus,
which is pretty awesome storytelling actually, because there's a school bus in Trick or Treat, and they have the full bus with all. That you could do a photo op with, but in the maze, the bus is submerged in water, as what happens in the movie. So even if you don't know the movie, you could still see that they're still setting the scene for you, which I thought was pretty cool.
And the characters walking around the scare zone, you know, dressed as different characters from the movie and whatnot, that was really cool too. They did a good job. If you haven't seen the movie, though, I will throw this out there. If you have not seen the movie, you are going to be very, very confused at why Snow White is running around Universal Studios. Well, she came out from behind the bus and ran by us, and all three of us went, huh? I was not expecting her.
No, yeah, in Trick or Treat, some characters dress up as Disney princesses for Halloween.
Yeah, there's, you know, it's about Halloween, so obviously there are Disney princesses, but I was very much not expecting to see Snow White running around Universal Studios.
Yeah, I wasn't. I mean, we were caught off guard, but which I haven't mentioned on this show yet. Last year in Orlando, they had a trick or treat scare zone. I guess to test the waters to see if people cared about trick or treat. And with that, they had Snow White and Cinderella in the scare zone. It's hard. I don't want to ruin the movie. I mean, I could care. We're not spoiling the Halloween Horror Nights. If I ruin a little bit of the movie, that's not, you know, whatever. But the characters that dress up as Disney princesses transform into something else. So at the scare zone, they were kind of like right before they transform. They weren't quite there yet. But the Snow White we saw was not transformed into anything. It was straight up Snow White.
Yeah, it was just Snow White running through the park. Like, it was just, it felt very out of place. I've seen the movie. I know why she's there. I know, you know, I know the story, but it was definitely something I was not expecting to see at Halloween Horror Nights.
Well, you saw it. So then we had, I don't know what the name of it is. It was outside of the Universal one. It was some kind of like French themed thing.
Oh, it was a theater. It was a theater themed, like old school French theater.
It's called Monster Masquerade. I'm going to look it up now. There we go.
Yeah. Scare Zone. And it was really neat. I liked it.
Apparently we missed a scare zone. Because there's one called Hell's Harvest. And it said, enter a pagan harvest festival where the dark spirit of Halloween was born. The streets are filled with strange bewitched dolls brought to life through dark magic. We definitely didn't see that. I don't know where that was.
No, well, now we got to go back.
All right.
Okay. But yeah, I liked the masquerade, like, theater one. I did not expect it, and it was really, really weird because you walked out of the, which house was it that we walked out of?
Monsters.
Yeah, you walked out of that one and directly into the scare zone.
There's no other way to go. In fact, reading the description, it says that it's inspired by Phantom of the Opera and Hunchback of Notre Dame. So it's okay. Kind of an extension of the maze, really.
Yeah, it was very unexpected. But it was neat. It was really good to look at. That it was one of the ones where it had the scenes were very, very obviously done as scenes. They were like little kind of stage setups, but it was really neat to look at.
It was a fun exit. The other one we did, which was just a tunnel, the toxic tunnel, seemed like you walked through a rave. They seemed to be playing loud dubstep as we walked through it.
Yeah, that was incredibly not memorable.
It's like you don't remember it.
Yeah, like I just walked through.
I mean, it's just it's a passageway. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some actors that were throwing axes at my face or whatever, but
all of the actors in the toxic tunnel ignored me.
Oh, really?
And I wasn't sure what to think about that. Because that was at the beginning of the night still. You know, we had done Trick or Treat and we were heading to Poltergeist.
Oh, right. Yeah,
it was very, very much at the beginning of the night. And we're walking through this toxic tunnel and there are actors everywhere, but not a single one of them like engaged with me at all in any way, shape, or form. Did not try to scare me, did not get in my way, did not anything. And I remember walking out and turning around and being like, I would fire you people.
Well, clearly, they, you know, you didn't look like an easy mark, so feel proud of yourself.
I guess, but damn.
The last scare zone, though, I think that we all kind of enjoyed. This was almost like a mini haunt, except it was outside, which was the Holidays in Hell.
That was so cool.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
It was so neat. It was. They started with New Year's, and they went through the year and did all of the different holidays. And so you walk through all the different holidays and they had sets and they had actors and it was just really well done.
Yeah, the way it's set up, it's like you could actually bypass it. Like, you didn't have to walk through it. That's, to me, that almost seems like a mini maze. It was outside, but you didn't have to go through it.
Yeah, it was really cool. Like, I'm really glad we went through it. I took some amazing photos in there. And there was just so much to look at.
Yeah, that's worth doing again. And to round off the evening, it wasn't the last thing we did, but one of the last things we did was see the Jabberwockies, which Halloween Horror Nights on both coasts like to incorporate hip-hop dancing performances as part of the evening. The Academy of Villains is in Orlando, and Jabberwockies, as long as I've been going, have been over here. And Jabberwockies is one of those things where every year it's like, oh, we got to do Jabberwockies. I'm like, I don't want to go to do that. I want to go to the mazes. But then every time I'm in there, I always enjoy it. So I'm just like.
I have never seen a Jabberwocky show that I didn't enjoy. I've seen them in Vegas, and I like them. I like their shows. This one, it actually felt a little light to me. On like impressive dance moves, you know, it was very light on the tricks. It was a good show. It was fun. It was super high energy. It had nothing to do with Halloween, but whatever.
I mean, that's kind of my thing there. The only thing I would say is that every time I've seen it, it really sticks out like a sore thumb. Academy of Villains. I don't know if you're familiar with that dance troupe or not.
No.
As you could tell by their title, they incorporate a little darkness into their presentation. They're not full on the creepiest thing on earth, but you know, they're a little dark. I could see that, but Jabberwockies don't really fit in with the event. All that being said, all their shows are always filled. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's people that go to Halloween Horror Nights just specifically to go see them, since they have such a huge following.
Yeah, and it was a good show. It was absolutely a good show. I would totally see it again. But it was not the best Jabberwocky show I've ever seen. And it had nothing to do with Halloween or Halloween Horror Nights or anything like that. So I was a little confused, but it was still a really fun show.
It's almost, but you know what's funny is that Vecna has nothing to do with Halloween, except that they wear, you know, scary masks. They're not scary, but you know, creepy masks.
They wear masks.
Yeah, is that it's like a contrast thing, you know. It really breaks if you're just getting hit with the same thing over and over again. You know, the same type of thing, same, but you know, it gets to be maybe a little monotonous. If you throw in something that's like really left field, you appreciate that and the other things that you're doing.
Yeah. And I highly suggest going later on in the night, because A, you get to sit down for like, what was it, 20 minutes or something like that?
Yeah.
So you get to sit down, so you get a little rest, but it also, it's super high energy and it really does like amp you up. So, I think that later on in the night when you're starting to get tired or, you know, or whatnot, I think that is the perfect time to go see that show.
Yeah, I think that's usually when I've seen it in the past. It's definitely not one of the first things we do. Like I said, it's always kind of one of those, yeah, we'll get to it things. And that ends up being later in the night as you're moseying on out of the park. and they have times up until almost the end of the event. The event ended at 2 a.m. and the last show was at 1:30. So it's
we went to the 12:21 or something like
that.
Yeah,
I saw the one.
And it was definitely, I think we did. Did we only do one? Do we only do Halloween after that? Or I don't remember. But I felt like.
Yeah, we only did one more maze after that. We did the Halloween 4 one. Yeah.
But I kind of feel like if we had not done Jabberwockies, like, I don't know,
you would have fallen asleep walking through the maze.
Yeah, like, I'd have zombied my way through that Halloween house.
Yeah.
Like, I needed that extra little push. And then, of course, we had to drive home. So, like, that little bit of amp up at the end was really good.
Yeah. And so we ended up leaving a little bit early, that we didn't stay till 2. I would say, well, we left the park at 1:30. And then,
yeah, and we got something to eat
at City Walk, which not everything is open, but the new Blaze Pizza is open, so there's that.
Yep. Although they are only open until 2. They're open until 2 o'clock. They close at 2.
Oh, okay. So if people stay till the end of Horror Nights, they're not going to be open.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But if you are hungry and you need to eat, I highly suggest leaving a little bit before Horror Nights closes. You know, skip the mass exodus and get to one of the places that's open before 2 when they close.
Right. If it works out for you, you know, some people.
We were kind of lucky, like we left at like 1:30. We went to Blaze Pizza. We sat down. We got our food. We sat down, and then Halloween Horror Nights closed. So we were sitting there and eating while we were watching everyone. You know, this just huge, ridiculous wave of people.
Right. We weren't really a part of it, so we timed that out pretty good.
Yep.
All right. So I don't think we've left any stone unturned here. I think we've covered every aspect of this event. There are rides open during the event, of course, and we did not have time for any of that. So, Hogsmeade Village is closed during this event.
Yes, it is. And but some of the rides are open. The Mummy was open. Transformers was open. And even if they are open, you may get promised that you're going to go on a ride, and then you don't get to.
No, that was not. I did not break the promise. We had a very hard taskmaster of Shannon, who has no. Shannon always fears we're never going to have enough time to do anything. So she's like, we got to get to all the haunts.
She kept us very on track. That doesn't mean I'm not upset about not getting to go on Transformers.
And we had a slow start to our evening because of the behind the scenes stuff. We had to wait.
Yeah.
A little late to do that after the event had opened. I'd say almost an hour after the event opened.
Yeah. And it was a misunderstanding with, you know, Universal, the buses and some other media, and there was stuff going on. So unfortunately we didn't get to start right away. We sat there and waited for quite a while.
Right. I'm just saying, but because of that, it made Shannon anxious about getting everything done.
Yes.
I mean, that's definitely a luxury problem for us. I mean, I'm not complaining about that on the show. I'm just saying, like, so she was like, you know, we're not going to go on any rides. And typically the rides are walk-ons, and that was not the case. I think Transformers was like when we walked out of Stranger Things wasn't at like 50-minute wait.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna wait that long.
So yeah, and what's funny is when I go there with Shannon to Halloween Horror Nights and on Hollywood, I usually just go on Transformers without her because she doesn't want to go, and then I do the single rider line. So I just, you know, that's pretty much a walk on anyway, which I might have suggested, but anyways, we had to get out of there. Oh, we didn't talk about the food. If people are still sticking around here, we didn't try too many of them. They have all these Stranger Things inspired dishes.
We had the chicken and waffle sandwich.
Yeah, we both got the same thing.
Was good. You know, it was Eggo waffles and grilled chicken and stuff inside it, and it was good. We both agreed. Basically, we said it at the same time. That it would have been better if it had been fried chicken and not grilled chicken. But yeah, what we didn't eat was that big waffle stack dessert thing.
Lemon's Waffle Extravaganza, I think it's called.
Yes, and I wanted it. We didn't get it because I didn't even see it.
I think I saw someplace where it was, but they're kind of, the food items are kind of scattered all around. There was a bunch of items near the Stranger Things haunt, but there was a few other items that were down in the, I'll call the second lower lot where Poltergeist and all that stuff was. So I don't know.
I wasn't impressed.
With the food?
Yeah. And I'm a food person. Like, I'll go to Disneyland specifically just to eat the food that they have for the events. But
I thought it was
no, it was hard to find. Like it wasn't. I don't know. Like if I had seen the waffle stack that I really wanted to get, I probably would have made Shannon stop, so I could have gotten it and eaten it.
Well, they had that down where Shannon was eating. That's what I was saying.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know why, but they had it there.
I see. Yeah. No.
So, but. So,
well, next time.
Yeah. So that. All right. So overall, it now comes the time. What was your favorite of the night?
Poltergeist is my favorite, followed super close by the Universal Monsters one.
Yeah.
Which is funny because they are the two.
That's funny. Totally that is funny. Your expectations were so low that.
I was really looking forward to Stranger Things. I was really looking forward to Trick or Treat. They were both amazing houses, but they just didn't have the impact on me that Poltergeist and the Monsters one did.
Yeah, to me, I'm really, really tied between Poltergeist and Trick or Treat. In fact, I'll give it to Poltergeist, but barely. And I'll say, but barely, just because the Trick or Treat just gave me this overwhelming sense of joy being in there. You know, it was so much fun to be in there. I just loved it. But the things they did in Poltergeist, like everything was a hit. There was not like a lame part of the piece, you know?
Yeah. No, there really wasn't.
And like I was saying, I was like, I didn't know how they were going to do the end of the movie with the people coming out of the, you know, the dead bodies coming out of the ground. It's mm-hmm. pretty much impossible to do in a walk-through maze. And what they ended up doing was a perfect execution, you know.
Yeah. And there was a type of scare. It's actually the one that was on my Instagram that scared people. But that type of scare actually happened twice in the house. And a lot of times I don't like that. I don't like when you use the same effect twice because you've already seen it once and I feel like it loses it the second time. And mm-hmm. I did not feel like the second time it went off that it lost any of the effect.
I didn't because, I guess because I just watched the movie again, they were specifically referencing something from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it worked in that regard. and, you know, they don't have any children in any of these mazes or they don't have actors portraying children.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, I don't know if it's a pro or a con. I mean, clearly they're just stationary mannequins. They're not. If they actually had animatronics in there, that'd be a totally different story. But they're station. The children are portrayed as stationary mannequins, so it's
the Carol Ann one worked really well.
Yeah, because you're seeing her from behind. Mm-hmm. That's all she, you know.
But opposite that, in Stranger Things, the 11 one, you actually walk. Like past it, you see it basically 360, and I didn't feel that went off well at all.
Yeah,
it was very much this is a mannequin, like there was nothing behind it, and the scene that it was in the show was a really powerful scene, and I just didn't feel like it had anything to it.
Well. I guess for the people that have experienced it, we'll know what we're talking about. My thoughts on that were, yeah, it wasn't really awesome 11 moment, but it was kind of like you're seeing something play out and you drop your guard because you're like, okay, this is happening with them and not to me. and then when you jump there, drop your guard, you know, the other participant in that scene like comes at you.
Oh, I think I missed that.
Oh, you didn't have that happen to you? Yeah.
No, not at all. As far as I was concerned, I walked by a mannequin in that scene, and there were some light effects, and it was very lackluster. So.
So I saw that happen. Like, I don't know if it happened to me particularly, but I saw that. So you're just kind of like, okay, I'm going to walk by this play out, and then. It's like, oh, you think you're safe just because Eleven's doing her Eleven thing?
Yeah, no. I did not experience anything else in that room. So knowing that there was something else in there and that's how it was supposed to be set up, now that's a little different. But yeah.
Other than that, I don't really know how to recreate that scene and have it be scary.
Right.
You know, so I don't really know what else to do. So all that being said, to all the show, a lot of these same mazes are at Universal's Orlando's Halloween Horror Nights, and they do not do the same things, the two parks. They completely do their own thing with barely consulting each other on how they're doing it. So I'm very curious to see how they execute Stranger Things, Trick or Treat, and Poltergeist. Those three are at Orlando, which I personally won't get to experience until the end of October. But we did have a Creepy Kingdom contributor on the scene, contributing to our Instagram stories, who we will...
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Just go, you know, I don't know too many accounts you follow that were... at both events at the same time, but we were cranking out the the live content there. We will have a spoiler free review of Orlando coming soon, as our contributor Sabina returns back to California and I talk to her about her thoughts, and it will be spoiler free because I do not want to be spoiled.
Yep, we do our best to be spoiler free. Sometimes it's really hard, you guys.
I think that we did. I mean, if you want to go in cold, you won't listen to a review episode of
That's very true. That's very, very true.
You know, but we're not, there's, you know, we gave our thoughts, and the whole thing about our opinion is you might have a totally different opinion of mazes. You know, we're just saying what we thought and giving our critiques. You could be like, oh man, Terror Tram was the best part. We went all night.
We just rode it over and over and over.
We're like, screw the rest of this. I'm just going to keep going. Anyways, this was my favorite year that I've gone to Hollywood's Halloween Horror Nights.
Nah. This is my favorite year that I've gone.
Oh, how weird.
I know. Imagine that.
I just had so much fun. I thought, the fun was there. I had a lot of fun.
It was. I definitely want to go back. I wasn't sure what to expect. I've never done this before. I haven't been to a haunt in probably over a decade at all. When I stopped working them, I stopped doing them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whatever. But I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know how I was going to feel about it. I didn't know if I was going to like it. But I did expect that I was going to go this night for the media thing and then not go back. And I totally want to go back. So.
And I want to go back as well. And I can't really say that I had that feeling the last times I went. I'm not that I didn't like it. I just was like, you know, I got my fill.
Yeah, you did it, and it was cool, and it was done.
Right, and yeah, now I'm like, there's things I want to go back and do again, as we've stated, particular yeah. things.
And I want to go back with a group of friends. You know, I want to go back with people who get scared. We were talking about it in one of the haunts. I don't even remember which one. The girl behind me was so scared. She was so nervous, and she was so scared, and she was just clinging to the girl next to her, and almost on the verge of tears. And all I think was, I wonder what it's like to experience this stuff like that.
I don't know.
You know, because I don't know. I can't even imagine what it's like, because I've never done that. I've never experienced it like that. The first haunt I ever went to, I worked.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. I've never been to a walkthrough haunt without the experience of being there behind the scenes, building it, seeing it with the lights on. You know, every haunt I've ever seen my entire life has been, that experience was first.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. So like, we were talking about, we would walk through the haunt and I would know exactly where the breaks were, where the doors were, where the scares were going to be. You know, I can note in my head where we are in the house and compare it to where like the middle, you know, the behind the scenes like row is. It's just totally natural. So,
well, it's interesting to see that Hollywood Horror Nights follows the same way that whatever haunt you were working at 10 years ago in North Cal was doing.
Quite a few of them. But yeah, no, it was a lot of fun, and I totally want to go again.
Well, it's going till November, so haunt season just started.
Woo, let's do it.
So that's our review. I think we have nothing more to say. So get hyped, get ready if you're able to go, because it's going to be a good time. Alrighty, that's how it all went down. A special thank you to Universal for inviting us out to have an amazing experience to relay to you guys so that you can have your own amazing experience. If you want to check out some pictures, our video highlight reel that we produced for NightmarishConjurings.com, guess what? We're going to have all of that stuff in the show notes, which you can find at creepykingdom.com. And a special thanks to everyone that followed along on opening night on our social media. As we continue going to haunts, we'll be posting things live, so you want to follow along at home if you can't be there with us. And furthermore, you made out to Hollywood Horror Nights. Want to know your opinions. You know, do they match up with what we said? Let us know. And you can contact us here by emailing creepykingdom@gmail.com. All right, until next time, folks, stay haunted.